sit around the table as family, extended family, pull up a chair. Three, maybe even four generations. We all hold hands. Someone says a prayer, and it's time to dig in. And as the food's getting shuffled around, there's another presence who starts to meander into the room. Four legs, long tail, or short tail, hoping for some scraps. Or maybe your dog is one of those who gets under the table and takes up the legroom, just waiting for one of the children to drop something onto the floor. It's not fair, says Jesus, to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. From Jesus. Calls the Syrophoenician woman a dog. Oh, maybe not her directly, but you know, her type. Those who speak with her vernacular, those who wear their skin color a bit differently than the rest. Race determined privilege. Jesus had his place at the family table, but her place was on the floor where the crumbs fell like a dog. Begin with a memory. When was the first moment that you realized race put us in different places? When was the moment when you awoke to the reality that some are lifted with privilege while others are treated as less? Maybe the question takes us back to our childhood. There we are on the playground. We made a new friend, kicking up sand with our feet. We're giggling down the slide when suddenly a parent snatches us up and says, it's time to go home. But why? Because we don't play with them. Or maybe it happened a little later in life. You know, we begin to notice these patterns that put human beings into categories and subcategories and lesser categories. And then we're sitting around our own dinner table, and one of our loved ones drops a racial slur. We're talking about them. Maybe it didn't happen until we sat down with a person of color and had a conversation, and our eyes were opened to the injustices that we had no idea even existed anymore because we were protected in our white shield. When I was 16 years old, I was at the DMV about to get my driver's license. There's a young black man with his father in front of me. He said, get over here, I'm saying, I know, Dad, I know the rules of the road. I'm not going to go any faster than 5 miles per hour. At every stop sign, I will make a complete stop. I will keep My title and license on the dashboard, too. Keep your title and license on the dashboard? What does that mean? I don't have to do that. I didn't know it at the time. But he's being trained and taught to not make any certain movements in case he got pulled over toward the glove box or toward his coats, so that everything's right there. Survival. When's the first time you saw that someone was treated with more and others less?
It's hard to believe, but race is an issue in the Bible, too. Even for Jesus. In an insolent moment, he calls the woman a dog. And he wasn't referring to her in the definition of man's best friend. Jesus is away. He's far from home. He's deep inside of Gentile territory. He's on retreat, and he just wants to be left alone. But instead, this woman hears about him and comes into his personal space. She's desperate. A mother, the tormented child. And in the moment, Jesus doesn't care about her needs. He doesn't consider how many sleepless nights she stayed up worrying about her baby girl. He doesn't consider all the powerlessness she must be feeling. He doesn't even ask her name. All he sees and knows is that she's wrong. Wrong gender, wrong race, wrong religion, wrong timing. And so the words of prejudice, the slur of racism just slips off his tongue. You don't take what's good for the children and you just give it to the dogs? Oh, how we have tried to soften his words. We have interpreted his words as, oh, well, he's just stating a reality about his mission, you know? First are the Israelites, and then come the Gentiles, and this woman's timing is just bad. Or we've made it about her devotion. Well, Jesus was really just testing her to make sure that she had enough faith, you know, to be healed. I've even read interpretations that has Jesus smiling and winking while he's saying that. Have you ever tried to smile and wink at the same time? It is really hard. But the Jesus we get here is an all too human product of his environment. He has implicit bias and prejudice and privilege like we do, and race is the issue for Jesus. But here's the thing. The woman. The woman. Do you hear me? The woman. She is the mover and the shaker of this story. She is brilliant. She gets one sentence. In Mark's gospel, you can count the number of sentences that women get on one hand. Four women speak, five sentences. She gets one of them. And with her one sentence, oh, she preaches. Lord, even the dogs under the table get the crumbs. She gets on her knees like an NFL player protesting racism, and she says, "Where is the good news for me? For my daughter?" Does her life not matter? Do people who look like me not matter? In one sentence, she preaches Jesus' own gospel. She schools him, and she cuts through the heart of God's boundary-breaking, taboo-busting, division-destroying message. In protest, in love, doesn't my daughter matter? Don't people who look like me matter?
You know, it's the only instance in any of the gospel where Jesus loses the argument to the woman, to the outsider, to the one who dares to gently hold Jesus' face to the issue and say, "Look." Where's the good news for me? So, you know what Jesus does? What does Jesus do? He changes his mind. He not only changes his mind, he changes his entire ministry from this point on. He says, "Because of your saying this," that's too tame. The Greek is logos. "Because of your word, your teaching, your preaching to me, I will heal your daughter." Have you heard that rendering before? I haven't. Too many times, we treat Jesus as if he floats 5 feet above the ground. We don't make any room for his humanity or his humility or the chance that he might be wrong. And in doing that, we miss the central piece of Mark's gospel. This is central. Mark is written to the Gentiles. The Gentiles are wondering, when did the gospel come to us? Here. But we miss it if we think Jesus is too perfect to change. Is that an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
You don't round up.
If you don't believe it, just before Jesus encounters this woman, he feeds 5,000 people. You all are 5,000 people. And after he's done feeding them in a deserted place near Galilee, How many baskets are left over? For a point. 12. They got it. And then he encounters this moment with this woman. And in the very next chapter, the very first thing he does is feed 4,000 people in Gentile territory. And for 2 points, how many baskets are left over?
Seven.
What does 12 mean in the Bible? What? No. What does 12 mean? 12 means?
Tribes
of Israel. What does 7 mean? More wholeness. Completion. Didn't Jesus just say, it is not right to take the children's food and give it to the dogs? And what's the very first thing we see him doing in the next chapter? He's feeding the dogs. That woman preaches the gospel and it changes Jesus' mind. It not only changes his mind, it changes his entire ministry from this point on.
You know what? I believe this church has had that same thing happen to them. You have listened. You have listened to the voices of those who society labeled as less, and you have embraced all people and extended this table, and in doing so, has it not changed your identity? Of course it has. That's the gift of embracing all people. Remember 30 years ago or so, when one of our members, her son came out. And so she came to you all. And it was as if God was gently holding your face toward an issue, saying, don't turn away. Look. Look. And you all made a decision to be affirming. And we are still growing into that transgender class in a couple weeks. The session last week voted to march in pride as Trinity, not as individuals, or even buying a banner. And then 20 years or so ago, racial climate was hot and the interracial dialogue got formed, and you guys stepped in and you sat around tables and you listened to each other's stories, and these stories formed us in a way that we had renewed vision and purpose, so much so that 2 months ago our session voted to endorse Black Lives Matter. We still have work to do. And that work is going to change our identity. The good news, friends, good news, is that if fully human, fully divine Jesus can keep growing and learning about who he is and what his calling is all about, and if fully human, fully divine Jesus can spit out a racial slur and then admit that he's wrong, and if fully human, fully divine Jesus can allow the gospel to be preached to him from an outsider and then turn around and lift up others using his privilege to do so? Well, and by the grace of God, so can we. so can we.
Amen.